the third one, and we've already gone through the first one, which is what? The first commandment. No other God before you, before him. Okay. What's the second one? No idols. Don't make any idols. You know, I talked to y'all, I told you that I had this thing that I felt like the Lord was working with me when I was praying about this and I was studying for it. And I looked up and I saw my stuff, you know, my 9-pound bass and my 7-pound bass and my deer head, the big 8-point. And I got to thinking, I said, well, Lord, am I making this my idol? You know, and I told y'all that I would let you know what I found out. They've been burnt. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't burn. No, there was no big bonfire. He put my mind at ease right away. He said, that's you're misinterpreting what I'm trying to say here. He said, you're not praying to those things. You're not making those number one. You're not putting that in front of me. Instead of serving me, you're not serving them. You're not praying to that. You know, that's just a trophy that it might be silly as it is, but, you know, that's okay. It's not nothing for me to worry about. It's kind of like Brad was talking about a buckle, you know, and you were talking about, well, what if you won saddles or something like that? That's not what the Lord's talking about. Not at all. But you do have to be careful what he revealed to me if you put that before him. If you put all of your energy, all of your thoughts, every bit of the time that you think of, if that's what you think of first, then that's when you need to start worrying because you're putting something before God. The third one that we have that going tonight is, it says, don't misuse the Lord's name. That's the revised version. The actual one says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. What do you think the Lord's talking about when he says, don't misuse my name? Don't say it in vain. What does that mean? That is exactly right. Because his name is important. There is no other name under heaven and earth anywhere where his name is not the most powerful name. People were afraid to say his name. They feared by their life to say the word Yahweh. And use his name. They thought that if we, you know, his name was so reverent to them that they couldn't even say it out loud. You know, and this is talking about using his name with reverence. When we say his name, we should be saying his name with reverence. Not saying like, well, Jesus. You hear people use that term. You hear it on TV. You hear they say God. They'll say God. And then they usually add something to it, you know. Those things, whoa, you will be held accountable for that. He says, I will hold you accountable when you do that. But let me ask you something. Does that mean you can't be forgiven of it? No, you can be forgiven of it. If you ask for forgiveness, you can. You know, when I was a kid, I won't tell you the name that they call me, but when I was growing up, I was pretty good size, but I wasn't as big as I am now, which I'm not that big now, but I'm only 6 foot, but back then I was like I stayed right around 5'9", you know, and then boy, right at the end, as soon as I graduated, I jumped 3 inches real quick. But they had these names. Everybody, they pick on you. These big guys would pick on you, and they would, these huge football players, and they'd always try to hang you with a nickname. And I got in more fights for this one word that they would call me, and it had to, and they used my name Lynn in it. And I'm not kidding you. I got in more trouble, and that's how I learned how to fight. That's the reason I learned how to fight. My dad taught me for that reason. Because I felt like that any time somebody misrepresented my name or said my name in vain or in some slur, that it was time to put the dukes up. And I was wrong. But that's what I was taught to do. My father taught me that. My Father in heaven, though, had a whole different plan for me and how he wanted me to react. You know, but you've heard the term, sticks and stones may hurt my bones. Isn't that the way it goes or something like that? Break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie, isn't it? That's a lie from hell right there, I guarantee you. Because people call you names. It hurts, doesn't it? How do you think, when someone uses your name like that, how do you think God feels when we use his name that very same way? Believe you me, it's a whole lot worse than what you think when someone calls you that. It is really bad, because God is he is not going to stand for someone. He says, you will pay the price for doing that. Go ahead. That's misusing his name. That's using his name in vain. That is breaking that commandment right there. When you swear to something in his name that you know it's not true, that is that. When you make a promise in his name that you don't intend to keep, that is using his name in vain. When you dishonor his name by saying his name flippantly, as God is my witness, oh my Lord. That's why it says in the Bible, let your word be your word. Let what you say be enough. If you say the truth, if you say this is the way it is, let that be enough. You don't have to bring God's name into it. He says, don't do that. Do not do that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And that's it. You know, like our name, God's name is important and it's special. You know, how we use God's name tells the world what we think about him. If you use God's name reverently, you say, my Father, and this, that, and other, you use words that are endearing to you, then they sense through you and how you speak of God that he is someone special to you. But if you do the opposite, what does it say? Well, they don't really know him, or he's not anything special. That's where Christians get such a bad name when it comes to the Ten Commandments, is because we break them so much and so easily, and we do it out of ignorance, don't we? Maybe you're not doing it on purpose, but does that negate the penalty for it? No. Ignorance is no excuse, they say. Well, that's exactly the way God sees it. His law said, this is what you should do. When people misuse his name or make fun of his name, it's not good. It's not good when they make fun of your name. So just imagine if you're God and you're hearing it. And you have all the power in the world. Yes, Lindy. Yes. I have been in a situation where my life was in danger. I knew that I could die. I was working for the railroad. I knew I was in a bad place. I was in a bad part of town. And it was in the middle of the night, past midnight. And all I had was a flashlight, a hammer, and an electronic voltmeter. And I was walking down the track. And these guys, I heard the rock shuffle behind me. And my truck was about as far as from here to the arena fence. And I heard them. I turned around. I was on my knees and I was taking a reading on the track, and I heard, and I just immediately knew that I was in danger, big time. Because the first thing I heard them say was, "Let's get him." So I knew there was more than one. And I said, "God help me." I mean, I was running. I didn't drop nothing. I started on this running as fast as I could to my truck. And they were right behind me. I mean, I could hear them breathing, running behind me. But when I got to my truck and I opened the door and I turned around, they were 60 yards behind me, seemed like. They were real far away. It's almost like they were going just like this. And I got to my truck. And there was only one thing wrong with that truck. Neither door on that truck locked. It was an old Dodge truck. Neither door would lock, so all you had to do was open the door. The whole time I'm saying, "God protect me, God help me, God help me get out of here, because I'm in trouble. I need you now, help me." And I'm on the radio and I'm calling for the Texas Ranger, our special agents were Texas Rangers, and I'm calling, "Help, guys, I don't know where you're at, but I'm right here, and help me." And I'm holding the door, and this guy's trying to open the door, and there's one standing in front, and this guy can't get this door open. It don't lock. It's not locked. All he had to do was push the button, and it opens right up. And I knew that right that moment, when that guy couldn't open that door, this peace come over me, and I turned that key, and it didn't do anything. This is not good. I said, "Lord, help this truck start." And I did it again, and it started, and I tried to run over the guy that was in front of me. And I got out of there. And I got to the depot, and the special agent, he's just sitting there drinking coffee. And I said, "Man, dude, didn't you hear me hollering on the radio?" And he said, "We didn't hear anything." He said, "Well, we've been sitting right here by the radio. We didn't hear one thing." I said, "Well, it's a good thing God was with me, because you guys didn't do me any good at all. Y'all had the gun." I said, "It was so good that God," and he had done that to me a couple of times, where I really got in a situation where I knew I was in a place where I could not do it myself. And so the word God, when you use call out to God's name, you are calling down power, more power than you can ever imagine. Because that door, I'm telling you, I went around there, that, and I just went in there and I went click, that door just opened right up. You could push that button and all day long. It didn't do nothing. Click, it opened right up. He said, "Well, why didn't they get in that door?" I said, "Well, all I can tell you is that there must have been an angel sitting there holding that door shut, because I was holding this one. And that guy was a lot bigger than me. And I don't know how he couldn't get my door open. So either there was one over here and one over here. He was holding this door shut and this one was pulling and keeping it shut. They could not get me." Now you might just say, "Well, that's a coincidence." Yeah. He says, "You are the luckiest sucker I have ever seen." That's what that Texas Ranger told me. "You are the luckiest sucker. You ought to be dead." And I told him, I said, "Luck didn't have a darn thing to do with it. I'm sorry." I said, "God was with me in that truck." He goes, "Oh, he was?" He said, "Did you see him?" I said, "I didn't have to see him." I said, "The door wouldn't open." So use God's name wisely. Don't misuse his name. It's an important name. Do the respect. Give God the respect that he deserves. When we use God's name in vain, what do we tell the world? What do you think you're telling them? He doesn't matter. His name is really nothing. It's like saying Fred or Homer or Johnny or Bubba Jean. Why don't they use that name instead of Jesus? Why don't they say Bubba, you know? That's it, yeah. When we use his name flippantly and throw it around that way, that's what the world sees. God's name deserves honor, all the glory that we can give it, the respect, fame, praise. He is our holy creator, our savior, and our Lord. So be careful how you use his name. Any comments about using God's name in vain? Anybody ever did it? Probably today. This whole Bible study is not so that it's not come to us so that we will feel bad about ourselves or anything. What it does is it brings light into something that's dark in our life. Something that we need to change. Maybe not every one of us has to change that in us, in each one of these, but we look at each one that these commandments that God gives, he gives them for a reason. And why do you think he gave the Ten Commandments to begin with? When we say God says don't lie, why do you think he says don't lie? The reason is because God is truth. He cannot stand for a lie to be told around him. He cannot stand sin. Every one of the commandments has to, whether you want to think of it, we say the first four is how we relate to him, but actually all of them relate to God and who God is. And how, if we want to be close to God, if we want to serve him and please God, this is just the beginning, y'all. This is just scratching the surface. This is just kind of like the very first thing. There's so much more out there. He's saying, y'all, this is the basics. This is where it starts. I have two. Did you? Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. That's it. Because we are human. But Jesus did. He was able to do it. He came on. That was the thing that made it so interesting, y'all, is he came as a man and did not sin. You said, I know, it's hard to think how. Some of us can't go that long, girl. Some of us can't go 10 or 5 without, because if you said, I don't think I've ever murdered anybody. Well, you didn't know, but if you wanted to, that means you did. If you got angry with someone to the point that you wanted to do physical harm to them, or you got mad at them, just furious, then it says it's just like you killed them. You've committed that sin. That's why these are so important for us to memorize and to think in our heads what it is we're supposed to learn. The fourth command has to do with a relationship with God, and that's remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Man, y'all, this is one that we fall on our sword so many times. Listen to what it says. This scripture keeps going. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. That's talking about if you've got somebody visiting you, like a neighbor or a buddy or a friend that's staying with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay, think about Sunday now. Think about ball games on Sunday. Somebody's working on Sunday. Somebody is getting paid for working on Sunday. Somebody decides after church, hey, you know what? I think I want to go work on my fence. You know, I have to work 6 days out of the week, and Sunday's really the only day I got to do it. So I'm going to work. Is that a sin? Yep. What does it say we're supposed to do on Sunday? Rest and what? Worship. Okay, this is one I've been guilty of. Going and working cows on Sunday. Or going fishing on Sunday. Not having, just because I didn't have church that evening, I thought, well, you know, I think I could get in a hunt this evening. You go hunting. Guess what? Is that a sin? I'm not working, but is it? Am I resting or worshiping? I tell you, there's going to be a lot of folks that's going to question that. I'm going to say yes, because unless I'm sitting, now I've tried to, y'all, I've really worked on this one. I've really tried to, I've really tried to manipulate this one. That's why I said this one is so difficult. I'd be sitting in there and I would be reading my Bible, you know, and I'd be praying to the Lord, trying to rationalize my being there, and that deer step out. And I go, okay, draw my bow or pull my gun up, boom. Does that deer get drugged to the truck by itself? Does he get cleaned by himself? I started to say another word, gutted, but I didn't think I'd like that. But does he get cleaned by himself? Does he get deboned and quartered? And well, I just worked, didn't I? Now, I guess if I just sit there and I didn't, and I was just observing God's creatures, and I didn't do anything else but that, maybe so. But that's not what I was there for. When I fished on Sunday, I was there to catch fish. Now, some guys do that for a living. They get paid to do that. Because they consider it work, because it turns into work. Is that a sin? What's the two things we can do? Rest and worship. This is the hardest one. And I think this is why God put so much in it. God, remember that God was the one who penned these commandments, and it's amazing. It took so much time. He wanted to explain this one in overtime. He explained it a lot for us. It's almost as if he knew that this was going to be the hardest one for us to keep and for us to follow. You know, he explained this. That's why he put so much explanation into this one particular one. And he did a lot. He did it in a great deal of explanation and length. There's a great deal of debate surrounding the issue of the actual day of the Sabbath. Have y'all ever heard this? Saturday. There's a lot of folks that worship. Their Sabbath is Saturday. and there are some that worship and their Sabbath is Sunday. Which day does the Bible say? It says Sabbath. He says you work six and you rest the seventh. It doesn't matter whether it's Saturday or it's Sunday. Whichever one is your Sabbath, that's the day you're supposed to worship and rest. But the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't seem to be really worried about the fact whether you're doing it on Saturday or whether you're doing it on Sunday. Just as long as the day that you use for your Sabbath, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, is that's the day that you worship the Lord and you rest. He commands us. The word commandment does not mean if you possibly can see your way through, if you kind of want to do it and you don't have nothing else going on. What does a commandment mean? When a general gives an order, a command to one of his underlings, is he saying, if you could find the time, Sarge, would you do this for me? No, he said, this, if I say go left, you go left. If I say right, you go right. If I say sit down, you sit down. It's a command for you to follow. Well, this is one of his commandments. Even as sometimes as unreasonable as it seems to us. That's why it's so hard, because we live in such a fast-paced life this time in our lives, don't we? I mean, some of us work nights. Some of us work days. Some of us work night and days. And some of us work weekends. And we're off Mondays. And what do you do? do you think God understands? Do you think that God, if Sunday, let me ask you this, I'm not going to say it's impossible, I'm going to say it is hard to live this one. Thank God that we have repentance. Oh my goodness. If we did not have repentance, where would we be? Do you think if a guy, say he had to work Sundays and his day off was Monday, could Monday be his Sabbath? Yes, it could. Could he worship and rest on that day? Yes, he could. Is he commanded to do it on Sunday or commanded to do it on Saturday? It's the seventh day. Whatever your seventh day is, that's when you rest. Because he said, if I can do it, I'm commanding you to do it. I'm not asking. This is a command. But a lot of people view this particular one as a burden. Unreasonable. You got to be kidding, Lord. The way my hectic life is, how can you expect me to live up to this command? How do you live up to it? Not well. We fall all the time, don't we? Because some of us work on Sunday. Some of us, we don't have a choice. I mean, if we want to make a living, sometimes the day's Sunday, but that means that if you work one of those days, you're supposed to have a rest in seven. One out of seven. So you pick a day, and that is your Sabbath. That's the day that you worship the Lord, and that's the way you rest on that day. That's the only way it can work in this world, in this time that we're in. It depends on your where you are as a believer. You know, if you worship, does that mean that every second that you're resting, you're supposed to be worshiping? No. Does that mean that you have to rest every second and not worship? No. Does that mean I can't go to the ice box? I can't get up out of my chair? Do I have to sit there and watch the Dallas Cowboys? You know? That's why this one, he spent so much time. You always think and try to rationalize what I do. It's a different kind of work, Lord. I had a preacher one time tell me, if you can justify it with the Lord, it's okay with me. And I went, say that one more time. He says, if you can justify it with God, if you and him are on the same page, he says, yes, you can do that. He said, it's all right with me. And I thought, well, that's easy. I'll just say. In my mind, I'll go, oh, yeah, that's what God wants, you know. But that's not the way, it's not the way it works. You know, I had to pray about it. Oh, here we go. I had to pray. I had to ask God to give me wisdom. And guess what he said? Not a chance. I had a guy preacher tell me one time, you can't dance. I said, what? My youth director said, you cannot dance. It's a sin. I handed him my Bible. I said, show me. Show me where. He says, well, I can't show you in the Bible, but it's in our constitution and bylaws that you're not supposed to do that. He said, if you persist on dancing on TV, then I'm guarantee you're going to have to go talk to the pastor about it. And I said, bring it on. So I guess what? I had to go talk to the preacher. And guess what I told him? The same thing. And boy, he got mad at me. He said, boy, don't put that Bible in front of me. That's what he told me. He said, don't try. He says, you're trying to tell me that you don't think bad thoughts, I had to choose my word, teenagers, when you're dancing. I said, no. He said, all the time? I went, no. Not all the time. He said, okay. He said, you get to the point where you can do it all the time without thinking that? He said, it's okay with me. And I went, oh, man. But if in my heart, but did I ever stop? No. Because me and Claudia, we'll dance at weddings. We dance, you know. I said, man, David. I said, David danced around, you know, my mind just went blank. The Ark of the Covenant. He was dancing, and boy, he was having a good old time. He said, that was in the Old Testament. I said, that was in the Bible. That was in the Bible, old or new. That was in the Bible, you know. But he had a point. I had a point. And I don't think either one of us really won. Because if he had told me, well, if you can justify that with God, and you're keeping your thoughts pure all the time, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, I had to admit later on, now that I'm grown, being young and stubborn, I said, no, I don't think that. But I'm looking back now, yeah, I did too. I was being what? Rebellious. Oh, boy. Anybody ever been a rebellious teenager? You was perfect. I know that. I was going to say that right off the bat, Pinky. I know you never had that. But I mean that when your parents told you to do something, you didn't sneak out the window, you know. I'm not giving y'all any ideas. I'm just telling you. I choose my words wisely, grasshopper. Okay. What does remember the Sabbath and keep it holy mean to y'all? What do you think it means to y'all? There you go. How do you rest? What does he mean, rest? When you hear the word rest, what do you think God means? Lazy boy. Yeah. He said, you've worked 6 days. What does rest mean to you? Kick back. That's not what it said. Yeah, you got to drive. But he says, don't forsake the gathering of believers too, don't it? Keeping it holy. When he says, what does 6 days you shall labor and do all your work in 6 days, what do you think he's meaning by that? It's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Who do you think for a minute that what you do during those 6 days is what you're providing for yourself? This is the test right here. This is the one thing where you're going to have a moment. This is it. Do you think that the skill that you do those 6 days, the pay that you receive, the blessing you get from that money, that you did it and you earned it? It is God who gives you everything. He gives it to you. He has the full supply. He provides every blessing in your life, including your job and the work that you do, the paycheck that you get. That's the aha moment I was talking about, that we realize that God is the one that provides for us, not us. When you are His, when you were under your parents, did you have to work? Well, maybe some of you did, but when I was a kid, I didn't have to work. I didn't have to. I was a kid. My father and my mother, they provided for me. They put food in my mouth. Some of you are saying, well, but I'm the one that had to go hunt that food to put it in my mouth. Sully, you probably would say that, wouldn't you? You know, or I had to go catch that fish out of the creek for us to eat. But still, God provided. We are His children, and He takes care of us. He provides our every need. How do you think your life would be different? Now, think about this one real hard. How do you think your life would be different if you kept this commandment to the nth degree? All you did on the Sabbath was rest and worship. I don't want you to say it out loud. I just want you to think about it. How different do you think your life would be if that's what you actually did? What do you think the benefit of it would be? You'd be closer to the Lord. You would be rested too. We live in such a go, 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 hurry, 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 get this. We want everything fast, don't we? We want fast food. We want everything done right now, and if they're slow, we're going, what is your problem? How come we're not getting it quick enough? And then when Sunday comes around or when the Sabbath comes, how hard is it to turn that switch off? It's hard. You still want to go. Well, some of you don't.
So, who does God hold responsible for the boss that says you must be here on Sunday?
Right? Well, then what day do you pick for it to be your Sabbath? It didn't say Sunday. It does not say here Sunday. It does not say Saturday. It says the Sabbath. What does God say? What did He say? What do you have to do to make things right? You ask for forgiveness, okay? Because that doesn't happen all the time, does it? No, it don't happen all the time. So when it does happen, what do? You repent to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm using this as an excuse, really. I'm using my boss as an excuse because I know better. But here it is, and I'm guilty. Forgive me. Yes. As their Sabbath. It doesn't say you can skip 5 and add 3 or minus 4. It just says you work 6 in a row, then you rest. You whatever it is, you work 6, kick back, worship me, and rest. What would you have to change in your life to make this easy? Oh, boy. What would you have to change in your life to make this commandment to be able to follow it? Your job. That could be a very real possibility. What else? Your standard of living. Why? You wouldn't have a job. That would stop but the question is, do you think the Lord would honor that and get you another job? Okay, if He tells you that He takes care of us, I'm one of those guys that He's talking about. I'm the one of those. I worked for the railroad, and it was 24/7. I got called out. I'd be on my way to church, and I'd get called out and go to work. Didn't I, Claudia? I mean, what? Yes. I'm serving. I'm serving the Lord on Sunday. I am His spokesperson. I'm worshiping, okay? That's a little bit different. It is a little different. I have to, when I leave here, I don't go work. Claudia, what do I do? Well, don't ask her. I don't do nothing. I mean, I just sit there, you know, and I'm resting, you know. And she don't cook on Sunday nights. She has her thing where she doesn't cook. So it's up to, if I want to eat, guess what? It's up to me. It's up to me to go in and scrounge and find something I want to eat, you know, no big deal. So she doesn't have to, she doesn't work either. She rests and does what she wants to do, and I rest and I do mine. The question is, what really would you have to do if you weren't following this commandment? You'd have to stand out on faith, wouldn't you? You'd have to step out there, and you would almost have to test God, wouldn't you? It would be real scary. Yeah. He makes this challenge to see if we would be willing to take it. Will you take the Sabbath challenge? That's the question. For the next 6 weeks, set aside one day out of the week for nothing other than worship and rest. The question is, don't raise your hand now. Are you willing to do that? It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. You can't turn your mind off. Does that mean, though, because you don't think you can, does that make it right? Think about it. Now, because you can't sit still, does that mean that God will say, it's okay, Bubba? Because what does it say? Rest and worship. Answering. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that your animals have to starve to death. You have to feed your critters, you know. Yeah. It says if you're they were so legalistic, they tried to trip Jesus. They said, "Well, what if my cart broke down?" You know. And it tumped over. Does that mean I can't pick it up? Well, what was the cart doing there to begin with on the Sabbath would be my question. Well, what would you say? No. You go ahead and get it out. You can help your neighbor. This is where it gets legalistic. This is where the Pharisees and the Sadducees always tried to trip Jesus up with this one thing. They tried to get him to fall and to talk about this one thing and to make him. This is something that is between you and God the Father, the holy God that created you. He says, I want you to take one day, one, and I want you to rest out of the week because it's good for what? It's good for your health. It's good for your mind. What else is it good for? Your soul and your relationship with Him. If we're blowing and going on our seventh day, we're not doing what He's asking us to do, is it? That's why it's hard. Any other comments about this one before we move on? Don't you just love this? The next one is they've all focused. These four have talked about a relationship with God. Now, these next ones are to deal with what? Moral compass, yeah. That's basically what it is. It's what our laws in this country were founded on, all of these. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and mother. What was our little abbreviated? Honor your parents. What do you think that means? Respect them. What does the end of that say? So that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It says, the commentary on this says that it's number one involves prizing parents highly, caring, showing affection for them, showing respect or fear or revering them. Parents are to be shown honor, but nowhere is their word to rival or to be a substitute for God's word. All believers should make every effort to honor their parents. But God, you don't understand. My dad was an alcoholic, and he beat the tar out of me every chance he got. I don't have to follow that. God, my mother, she was not faithful to my dad. God, my father wasn't faithful to my mother. I was abused by one or the other. What if your parents have committed some other hideous thing or grievous, something that's grievous to God, action against you? What if they are not Christians? Are you still bound to honor them? We are still bound to honor our parents, whether they deserve it or not. It doesn't give a what if, Lord. He doesn't give let you have room for examples. Well, what if they made my life a living hell the whole time I was at home? What if they didn't really take care of me like they're supposed to do scripturally? Do I still honor them? Yes. Why do you think we have to do that? That's kind of like this other thing. Why do we have to rest on the seventh day? Why do we have to honor someone that you'd consider not to be honorable? You're not condoning what they did. You're not condoning their sin by honoring them. That's the secret. That's the thing. You're not honoring or saying, I agree with what they did was right at all. Well, that's why you have to respect them. You have to have God help you to respect, to find the respect for your parents. It's hard. You're not defending what they did by honoring them. You are not commanded to defend your parents or make excuses for them. But you must honor them. This gets hard. It really does with some of our parents that we've had. But it really has very little to do with our parents and who they were as much as it is who we are as a person and where we are as a believer. If you are God's child, you can honor your parents and be respectful of them, no matter what. How do you think you can do that? It's called God's power, God's love, God's joy, God's peace, God bringing it into your life. It's about our spiritual maturity and ability to place someone else above ourselves and honor them. Even when they just flat stinking don't deserve it. But we're supposed to do it. Yeah, that is a doable thing. This does not mean we submit to an abusive father or a mother. It does not mean that we are forbidden from telling the proper authorities if our parents are breaking the law. It simply means that we don't run our parents down and we should not intentionally hurt them, even if they hurt us. Boy, how hard is that? Because there's some folks in this world that have had some really rotten parents. I mean, really. Yeah. Because you just flat, some folks, some kids just flat have no feeling for their parents one way or the other. They don't love them. They don't hate them. They don't even think about them. They're saying, I'm just so blessed that they're out of my life and out of my thought process. That's how bad it was as a child. But God says through Him and through His love, you can honor your parents. I think we're going to have to stop because I think it is. I've got 4 minutes. Do y'all think this is a hard one or an easy one? It's hard. Some hard and some say easy. It depends on where you are. That we are not all robots. We weren't all raised by the same parents. Some were shown love, some weren't shown love. Some were shown anger, some were shown complete joy and happiness. Some were raised in a Bible believing, God fearing, you know, Christian home. Others were not. But God takes all that into account when He says, honor your parents, your father and your mother. Yeah. Teenage years is just like, oh, it's like this thing. Man, everybody has to go through it, and everybody is glad when they get on the other side. Because when you're going through it, you're just looking for a direction. You're looking for somewhere to go, a point, something. You don't know what you want, really. You want everything. You want everything, and you want everything right now. What are some of the common ways we break this commandment in our society today? What do you think? Disobey? How about never checking on them? Never pick up the phone because you just don't care. You don't care whether they're sick. You don't care whether they're in the hospital. You don't care if they don't have any money. They do have money. You just flat don't care. Maybe you do, but maybe you just don't care enough to pick up the phone. Maybe they've hurt you in some way so down deep in that inside of you that nobody can get to. And you don't even, sometimes you can't even get to it. That deep hurt, and you've never forgiven them, and you've always had this malicious, this kind of a, what's the word, hatred. You're mad at them for something that they said, something that they did, something that maybe they should have done, but they didn't do, dadgummit. What if it's that? What if they didn't show you anything or do anything for you? Maybe they weren't mean, but they just didn't. They didn't do what you thought they should have been doing for you. So you lost respect for them. Maybe your father didn't work. Maybe he just wanted to rest 7 days out of the week. You know? Maybe he was on drugs. Maybe he was addicted to alcohol. Maybe she was. And that was something that turned you off so bad that you just didn't want to, you know, you just kind of, I have to separate myself from them. What does he say that we're supposed to do? We're still supposed to honor. Why? What has he said that if you do, what'll happen? You'll live long. He says, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord God's given you. It's more or less like if you want to live, it's not the time, the day. We don't know how many days we got. We don't know how many hours we got. We don't know how many years we've got. But what we have, what are we supposed to be doing with it? Making the most of the time we had. What if you really did know your last day on earth was? Boom! You knew the day that you were going to have dirt shoved in your face. What would you do? What would you do different? Would you live different? Would you live for the Lord more? Would you serve Him? Would you seek His direction more? What would you do if you only had 7 more days to live? What would you do? Really? What would you do? We do not know the time that we have to serve God here on this earth. We need to make every day like it's our last day. Every time when you get up in the morning, like it's the last sunrise you're going to see. Make the most of that day. Get every squeeze. If you only knew that you had a week to live, don't you think you would squeeze every bit of life you could get out of a 24-hour time? You wouldn't hardly want to even go to bed. You'd have to. But would you rest on that seventh day? If you knew how long you had, that's why he doesn't have a little tattoo on you when he made you. Says 2040, 2010, you wouldn't be here if it was 2010, but just think, you'd say, I got an extended warranty. We live on borrowed time, don't we? We don't know exactly how long we have to live. So how are we going to live? Are we going to serve the Lord, or are we going to serve ourselves? That's all God really wants to know. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve me or mammon? You're going to serve me money? What are you going to serve? What's important to you? What is important to you? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We could leave here and someone not make it home. And God could call us home tonight, right now. Are you where you're supposed to be with the Lord right now? We've got several more commandments to go through. The next one will be the sixth commandment. We've gone through four. But if that's all we had, if that's all that we learned, what have you learned just in that short time? What has God revealed to you? What has he kind of made you mad about? What has he kind of put that burr under your saddle and you're going, well, I just don't know about that. You know? I just can't hardly meet that one. I can't hardly see how I can make that one work. If we only had an expiration date. Who would like to know? I'm just kind of curious. Who would like to know your expiration date? Oh, wouldn't it? It'd be terrible to know. People would come up to you and say, you don't have very long to live because of this or that. You know? And you just laugh at them and go, whoops. How do you know how long I got to live? You don't have a clue. You're not the one that stamps my time clock. If God ordains you to be here for 100 years, guess how long you're going to be here? 95? 96? You're going to be here 100 years. He is the one. He is the one that we have to please. He is the one who knows the time when we're going to close our eyes and we're going to wake up in his presence.
But it's still,
yeah.
You know, I would rather
you
don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Because I told him, I said, you didn't talk to God about this.
Yeah.
But based on what I have,
yeah.
You know, they said 2 to 3 years.
Well,
already one of those years is gone.
Yeah. So they're telling you your clock is ticking, isn't it?
That's why I told you I feel like I'm holding a grenade.
Yeah.
With the pen pulled.
Yeah. And your hand's getting weak.
And I just wish that they had never said that.
Yeah.
It's like in my mind I'm going, like, how dare you tell me that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just wish
you didn't know.
I just wish he hadn't said that.
I tell you, sometimes doctors only go by science. That's all they have to go by. If they go strictly by science, we're all going to die. It's just, we're all going to die. We don't, there's nobody that's going to get out of this world alive. Nobody. We're all going to die. It's when. If God ordains you to be dead next week, you're going to be gone next week. If he says, uh-uh, you still got another 20 years. Laugh.
See, I think I do.
A positive attitude. When you trust God, you just trust God for the time you have. We don't know how long we have. That's the important thing. We live our life. What are you going to do with tomorrow? What are you going to do tomorrow if it was your last day? If tomorrow was your last day, what would you do? Somebody would say, well, I sure wouldn't go to work. I'd call in sick, boy, and I'd have me a hootenanny, boy. I mean to tell you, I'd have me a ball. Yeah. But just think about it. You go to work, but if it was your last day, how would you act? What would your day at work be like? You know? If you knew, man, guys, you just flat don't know. At the end of this shift, I'm going to get to see Jesus Christ face to face, hold his hand. Son, it don't get no better now. What does your day look like when you know that you have just a little time left? I'm telling you right now, you have a little time left. In God's time, it's just wisp, quick. We're only going to be here for a short time. How are we going to live our lives? Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to worship? That's the question. Do people, when they look at you, what do they see? Do they see an angry, mean-spirited, or do they see someone that loves the Lord, that smiles all the time, and they go, what is it with you? Are you touched? Is there there's something wrong with you that you smile, and no matter when people even do bad things to you, you still smile at them, and you just keep on going. You've just got this inside thing going, what is it? What drug are you on? It's a Jesus drug. I am drugged. I admit it. What does it mean when you're drugged? Your body has been compromised, hasn't it? You're under the influence of something else. You're under the influence of Jesus. And they see it. They don't see you. They see Jesus in you. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you, Lord. Man, God, this is hard. I'm telling you, this thing about Sunday, the seventh day, you know how life is today in the world that we live in. And, oh, man, Lord, these things are just so hard for us. But I pray, Lord, that we would consider you in all these matters. Lord, that you would give us wisdom. Because there's some commandments coming up that we're dreading. Lord, we're sitting here. We know we've done read them what they are, Lord. And there's going to be commandments out there that we're right in the middle of doing. And we know it. I mean, we're in the middle of breaking the ones we've already come through, Lord. I just pray that you just give us wisdom. That you just give us courage. That you would give us the self-control, the control of our minds, Lord. That you'll lead us not into temptation, but you would deliver us from that evil sucker that's out there that's always trying to trip us up. Lord, I just lift your name on high. We praise you today. Lord, if this is our last day on earth, I pray that we would live it for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.